Tom Pitney, right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet, right here on the Covers YouTube and X channels. We are airing live, baby. If you're watching on YouTube right now, make sure you hit that like button and that subscribe button somewhere right down there as well. So a great big show planned for you guys today. Beautiful boards in both the NBA and in Major League Baseball. If you guys want to participate in the chat, it is very easy to do so. Just hit up the live chat on either YouTube or over on X. We have Doug Farmer taking a little bit of a victory lap, our resident Minnesota Timberwolves season ticket holder. I think 11-1 to win the finals. Hey, I can't argue too much with that. Greg weighing in. Let's have a Monday. Let's go, Greg. Big show here planned today. We're going to recap a little bit about what we saw out of the weekend. Then we're going to get into our best bets tonight for the NBA, Major League Baseball. I'm coming off my best ever show, I think. 6-0 on Friday's show. So let's try to replicate that here with a winning day on Monday. Let's get the week started off right. Let's bring in our guy fresh off a visit to the NFL draft in Detroit. We're going to get him to tell us about his experience at the tail end of the show. Let's bring in our guy, John Mettler. There he is, the pride of Windsor, Ontario. John, how are we making out today?
Well, I don't remember, but we did a preseason prediction to win the NBA Finals. You used the Celtics. I used the Suns. So they're out. I'm pretty sure my analysis was they could get swept or they could win the NBA Finals, and they got swept. So.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk a little bit about what we saw out of the NBA this weekend. Then we're going to get into our picks. And let's start with Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid. These guys are out of excuses. Kevin Durant, I think it was a really sleazy move. This quote that came out from him immediately after they get swept in the first round of the playoffs. And a leak, supposedly. Give me a break. Kevin Durant, the exact wording, never felt comfortable with his role in Phoenix's offense. I think that's complete bullshit by Kevin Durant. I think it's an amateur move to leak this out there. That's going to happen from time to time, Kevin. When you jump around from team to team, when you try to recreate the big three model, that's going to happen from time to time. You're not going to be completely satisfied with the situation. If he wanted an offense built around him, he should have stayed in Brooklyn, for God's sakes. And Kevin Durant, out of excuses, I think he might be out of moves here too, but it looks like he's going to try to make another one. At the very least, he's going to try to get Frank Vogel fired. Don't be surprised if he gets traded again. I think it's a joke at this point. No more excuses for Kevin Durant. So we give the Timberwolves a lot of credit. Anthony Edwards, fantastic stuff. But what do you make of Kevin Durant here? I don't like that quote coming out this morning, John.
No, and like when you see that quote, it's like you had all season. If that's how you felt about the offense, maybe he did approach Frank Vogel and try to get it switched and stuff. It does sound like Frank Vogel probably will be fired. It sounds like it's a one and done for Frank Vogel. Kevin Durant, final move. His final move might be to go back to the Oklahoma City Thunder where it all started. Honestly, he's kind of like he could be the final piece to what they need for that championship run. And maybe he sees that too. Maybe they have the draft picks. I'm sure the Suns would take the draft picks because they have nothing going for them future wise. So at least they could kind of like rebuild a little bit. I was thinking about this myself too. You know, a lot of people are dunking on the Bradley Beal trade. I know it came after the Durant trade. I think if you go back, like I was just thinking in my head, I was like, if they actually would have never traded for Kevin Durant and then did the Bradley Beal move and you had like Beal, Booker, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, like, and then they had all those first round picks that they could also utilize. I actually feel like the Kevin Durant trade almost hurt the franchise, or at least held them. Like they can't make any more moves because of it. Like they didn't give up anything for Bradley Beal. It was the second round picks, or I forget what it was, but it was nothing of significance. You know, if you had a Beal and Booker backcourt and like all those other secondary pieces that they need, I don't know. It didn't work out. I had bets on the Suns, but it never, I just felt like the whole season at some point, like there was so much talent and like someone would step up as like a defensive stopper and all those things and just didn't happen.
It drives me nuts. The moment there's a crumb of adversity, I want to go to a new team. This isn't working out for me here. I don't like the situation. So he bolts. I absolutely cannot stand it. But yeah, like we pointed out, we talked about this a bunch of times, Oklahoma City, they have a million first round draft picks and they're not going to be able to roster all these guys. So maybe they do make a deal for Kevin Durant, or I've linked Joel Embiid potentially going to the Oklahoma City Thunder as well. That could be a move for them to make because Joel Embiid is a guy who is almost out of excuses as well. They're not completely done yet. But Embiid's been fantastic at throwing people off the scent his entire career. And what I mean by this is he has these fantastic regular seasons, MVP campaign, and then he comes up short in the playoffs. He's never even been to a conference finals. And he threw people off the scent in this series. You know, a lot of criticism, games one and two. Game three, 50 points. Fantastic. Everyone's kissing his ass again. Look at him in the fourth quarter in this series. It's a complete and total joke. So in the fourth quarter in this series, he has a field goal percentage, John, of 16.7. That's across four games. This isn't, you know, a small sample size, really. He's only averaging 1.8 points in the fourth off non-free throws. It's a disaster. So maybe you just trade Kevin Durant and Embiid for each other. Embiid would be a pretty good fit there in Phoenix. Yeah. What do you think of that?
I never even thought of that. That would it's much closer to probably those like three working together versus Durant, Booker, and Beal. That was always the question too. You know, you have three guys who kind of live more in the mid-range, more in the perimeter, and they all three of them play pretty similar. So like that, how does that fit work? I mean, I'm personally, I'm not upset with how Embiid's playing because I have a bet on the Knicks. Our futures bet, first of all, just to backtrack a bit, that each way to the Eastern Conference, that looks significantly better because they're going to face the Pacers too if they move on. So we just need it. We have a plus 700 with each way, plus 700, I think, on to them on the series price against the Pacers. So that's actually going to work out for us there. I mean, he's not healthy too. So it's like, it's pretty obvious he's not healthy. I don't know if he's
every season either. Though.
I know.
You know what they should do with him? I don't know if you're old. I don't know how old you are at all, but the New York Yankees, Roger Clemens, at the tail end of his career, they would bring him in for the final 2 months of the regular season. Then he'd just be good to go for the playoffs. You know, I absolutely cannot stand load management, but maybe a completely different version of that with Joel Embiid. You don't bring him into the season until there's, the start of March or the end of February after the All-Star break because he just can't hold up. It's a movie we see every single season. It's getting, and you hate to criticize a guy for that because it's not like the injuries are necessarily his fault. I'm sure he's trying his best to stay healthy and stuff, but I don't know if these guys just get held to a different standard, right? So that's why I do think it is fair to criticize. One team that I do not think is fair to criticize though, John, a team that we have criticized a lot this season is the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, we've been over this. We talked about how they made too many moves with the Damian Lillard trade seemingly out of nowhere, firing a bunch of different head coaches. It's not working out, and people can kind of point to that, but that's not the reason they're down in the series. I think they're down in the series quite simply because of bad luck. Giannis, kind of like I don't know if you call it a freak injury, but that's killing them for a second straight playoffs. Damian Lillard out of nowhere gets injured too. So I think the Bucks 100% deserve a pass. Now, they're not done yet. It's not looking very good. But I give them a pass. And guys, don't do anything crazy this offseason. Just run it back next season. So what do you make of the Bucks here being down to the Pacers?
Yeah, I do think it is unfortunate. It is kind of bad luck, especially the matchup, because Giannis intended the matchup specifically against the Pacers, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the one player they can't stop. So like that really, like I think what he had a 60 ball against them earlier this year or 50. I don't remember. But I remember they wouldn't give him the ball, and there's that whole kerfuffle after the game. But he's the one player. You know, he's the one player who could really hurt the Pacers. And then you know, Damian Lillard works off that. Now you're down Lillard. Middleton left some of the game. Bobby Portis ejected. Yeah, I think they've just kind of it's an unfortunate season. It's not the way they want to go, but I totally agree with you. I would not change too much, maybe like a couple role players. They need to get some continuity amongst them. I hope they, you know, there's a lot of reports too that, you know, teams are monitoring how the Bucks are going to play this and if those guys will become available, like Giannis and Lillard, if maybe they sell off. I think they should give this one more go, like give Doc Rivers the whole offseason. There's something like, I think I was watching him on a playoffs game. He said before the playoffs, he only had three practices with this team this whole season. I was like, that's crazy. I couldn't believe it too. I was like, I think it was like three full practices where that gap between the playoffs starting and when the regular season ended, he actually got to run practices. And then, at least give him offseason and give one more go of Lillard and Antetokounmpo. And they should have a good idea of like what role players they need to fit in there too. So maybe some minor adjustments, but I don't think the Bucks are as bad as it's playing out right now. It is unfortunate. There's a lot of people injured, though. Jimmy Butler's out. Kawhi Leonard's out. You know, we're missing a lot of guys here once the playoffs started. So,
yeah, the Timberwolves head coach had a serious knee injury, so they might be done too, right? So,
yeah, that was tough to watch.
Some exciting news here. I don't know if this is the real Anthony Edwards. There's no way of knowing for sure, but someone using the name Anthony Edwards, and it's a picture of him too in the live chat on YouTube right now. And he is saying, there's no way to prove that this isn't the real Anthony Edwards. So it might very well be him. Maybe he does watch the show. I'm the best player in the league. Then he says, T-Wolves 2024 champions. Good for you. Just don't bet on it, Anthony. That's the only advice I would give you. John weighing in, Lillard to the Heat for Hero, and Jokic or Jovic. No one's trading for Tyler Hero at this point. They've dangled this guy for every possible superstar in the league, and no one's biting. So I think that ship maybe has potentially sailed. You think the Bucks want to trade for Tyler Hero? That's going the wrong direction. No, you got to run it back, like John and I said. John, let's end this recap segment. We'll get into the picks here in a minute with some positivity. Wasn't looking very good for your Orlando Magic. Then the series shifted to Orlando, and they beat the living shit out of the Cavaliers. They beat them by 23 in one, 38 in the other. Now they're plus 145 to win the series. Is that worth a bite with this thing locked up at two?
I still feel like they won't win the series personally. Even at that price, I wouldn't play it. I do think I think I said earlier, I think this goes 6-7. I just do think Cleveland is probably overall the better team. I mean, the Magic, they did blow them out. The Magic are a great defense. That's who they are. They went home and they made not just enough shots, but they made more shots than they were in Cleveland. And you combine that with their defense. Like, I think third quarter on Saturday or Sunday was game three. It was 31-5, like just to hold a team. Like throw the 31, who cares, with the hold the team to 5 points in a quarter in an NBA game. That's insane. Their defense is really, really good. They just need an off season to kind of figure out that offense, get some more shooters in there. But it's a constant theme in the NBA playoffs. You go home, your role players shoot better. Gary Harris knocked down some threes. Wendell Carter hit back-to-back threes. Jonathan Isaac was shooting threes. If they steal it in game five in Cleveland, they're probably live. I don't think they'll win game five, though. I do think the Cleveland is overall the better team. I think they might have just got stunned a little bit. And they also, like, Cleveland beat them pretty easily, the two games in Cleveland. So I think they might have just took their foot off the gas, gotten that Florida sun, and kind of chilled out a bit.
Yeah, I got screwed by the blowout on Saturday. I had Jared Allen over 11.5 rebounds, I think it was. He had ninth in the third quarter. And then he doesn't enter the game for the fourth quarter. And I had Jonas Valanciunas, I've been all over that one. The stat with Zion out of the lineup, I had him going over 11.5 points. I think he had 7 in the first half. And then I don't think he saw a minute. He got benched for the second half for some reason. He's not even offered tonight. Not that I was going to bet it tonight, but I didn't see him this morning while going through the odds. Okay, let's get into the picks here. Something for every game here tonight. Quite an active live chat here, guys. If you're just tuning in, over 500 live viewers right now across X and YouTube. Drop your best bets there in the comments section, and I will read some off as the show goes on. Okay, let's start with Celtics versus Heat. I got two bets for this game. I'm going to start with the over on the total of 203.5. I think this number is too dramatic of a drop-off. Allow me to explain. Game one of this series had a total of 210. I think this is an overreaction to game three, where the teams combined for just 188 points. Miami scored 12 points in the first quarter in that game, and that really set the tone for what ended up being a low-scoring game. I also think this is too low because the teams have gone over this number in 14 of 17 matchups since the start of last season. Yes, they played a lot since the start of last season. And I think there's a very high ceiling for scoring, quite simply because we're seeing a sky-high volume from three-point land. These teams are second and third in 3-point attempts per game in the playoffs. Miami shooting it at 40%, Boston shooting at 38.1. So I'll take them to go over that total of 203.5. My second bet for this game that I like Bam Adebayo, kind of in line with the over for the game. I like him to go over his point total of 19.5 points. Scoring success versus the Celtics continues. This is one I have been on. 20 or more points in 5 of 6 games versus the Celtics this season. The game he didn't go over that number, he had exactly 19. So he's been a very consistent scorer against the Celtics. He's now scored 20 or more in 15 of his last 16 games without Jimmy Butler. Absolutely love that trend. And he's been their number one option in the series so far, 16.3 shot attempts per game. So I bam to continue his success here versus the Celtics. Next up, Mettler, let's go to you. Let's go to OKC versus the Pelicans. Josh Giddey, what do you like for him?
Yeah, going Josh Giddey over 3.5 assists, -130. So game 3, he played 31 minutes. That's not really his number of minutes. It kind of got inflated there just because Jalen Williams, you know, went out with an eye injury and he came back later in the game. So the one thing I do like about this bet for Giddey is that if the Pelicans do not show up for this game, we're not really depending on a lot of minutes here. It's not like if you're going after Gilgeous Alexander over, you're looking, you're trying to get 37, 38, 40 minutes, right? Giddey, we have an edge on this number only at 24 minutes. So that's kind of like where, and Giddey's also someone, if the defense is breaking down and the Pelicans aren't playing well, he's going to be able to pick him apart for assists. So that's also, that kind of fits his style too. The one thing that, the other reason I do like Giddey here is he's the one guy they're leaving open on the perimeter. They have Herb Jones. He's a great perimeter defender. He's guarding Gilgeous Alexander. They're putting a lot of tension on Jalen Williams. Giddey finds himself open a lot. He's catching a lot of passes and he can shoot a three. He's not the best 3-point shooter. So he usually makes it open at the next pass. So then he's getting a lot of potential assists just off of the help defense that, they're sending towards Gilgeous Alexander or Jalen Williams. They're also using him as a screener a lot in the pick and roll. And, if they blitz Gilgeous Alexander and Jalen Williams, which you kind of want to get the ball out of their hands, they can find Giddey, and then Giddey's in the middle of the floor and he has options on both sides and he can create. So again, he's kind of just getting potential assists off of the defensive attention of his other teammates and how they're using him. So at 3.5 -130, I really do honestly like this number for Giddey. I just, we're not expecting a lot of minutes. That's just not who he is. But we don't need those minutes. Our edge is there either way.
John in the live chat asking, would you ladder Giddey assist? I don't know if you ladder many bets at all, Mettler, but how would you feel about that approach for the more aggressive bettors out there?
Yeah, you could go over 4.5. I think it was, I saw 4.5 plus +126. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I would definitely go 4.5. I just would be concerned. His minutes don't, he's not someone who goes from like 24 to like 35 minutes or 40 minutes. He kind of stays in that kind of 20 to 24, 25 range. So I would be more interested in laddering someone who maybe has potential to go from 30 to 40 minutes type thing, just because you're trying to go for alternate overs type thing. I don't think his minutes, he's not someone who could get his minutes pushed up high enough, but you could go 4.5 for sure. 4.5's in play. I don't know if I'd go 5.5.
Okay. Brandon Ingram, I'm guessing you have another assist prop for us. What do you like for him?
Yeah. Over 4.5, and this comes with a little buyer beware, because it's the same thing I was saying for Giddey is, I do like this number. I like the 4.5 -104. You're concerned if the Pelicans are facing a sweep here, if they don't show up and this game's a blow and people don't play the minutes we're thinking they will, this could be a problem, because they're going after overs here. If this game is remotely competitive, I like the over 4.5, and I hope it is competitive. For Ingram, he's having a really hard time with Lu Dort's defense. He can't score. Lu Dort's absolutely crushing him with the perimeter defense, and he's making it very difficult. He hasn't scored over 20 points this entire series. The Pelicans need his offense. They can't beat the Thunder without his offense. And the Pelicans went through several points in the season where Brandon Ingram was on the ball. He was the main creator of offense. He averaged 10.3 potential assists per game, I think, on the season. And there was games where he'd have like 12, 15 potential assists. And I just don't see, there's no, that was with Zion Williamson too in the regular season. That's what he was averaging. In this series, he's averaging about 8. I just don't see why the Pelicans don't make him more facilitator. Why do you keep going at Lu Dort as a scorer? Just get him involved. I would also look at, he should be able to create, and the thing is he's drawing so much attention, and get the ball to Valanciunas on the inside and let him throw his weight around. And those could be potential assists that convert. The big reason why I'm going after this too is it's dropped from 5.5 to 4.5. He's gone under in all 3 games. That's why it's dropped in assists. If this was still 5.5, I wouldn't play it. So no ladder for this guy. I think his projection is 5.5. So if we're, 5.5, the projection 5.5, we wouldn't play this at all, but it's dropped a full assist. It's dropped to even, -104 is not even, it's reduced juice. So that's also why I'm going at this number, just at the reduced price. I think last game he had 8 potential assists, 1 actual assist. So he's still creating. I just would like to see him create a little more. And I think that could be part of the game plan tonight.
Okay, next up, let's talk Lakers Nuggets. I have an under the radar bet for a very under the radar player who goes by the name of LeBron James. I like him to go over his point total of 26.5 minus 115. So he's been right there all series, despite very limited trips to the free throw line. So he's averaging 27.3 points per game in the series. Thing is, though, he's had 5 or fewer free throw attempts in 3 of the games, just 2 free throw attempts in each of the last 2 games. So don't be surprised to see him on the line a lot more. And he does come to play in elimination games. This has been a theme throughout his career. Just as a Laker, though, 30, 40, and 29 points as a Laker with increased shot volume. We saw him have 23 shots in the elimination game there on Saturday. He had 25 in game 4, elimination game versus the Nuggets last season. So if he's going to go out, he is going to go out on a shield. And don't expect to see a lot of rest for LeBron in this game tonight, unless it's a blowout. Fingers crossed that it isn't. 40 or more minutes in 6 of his last 8 playoff games against the Nuggets. So he's going to be out there running tonight, hopefully throwing up a lot of shots, hopefully going over 26.5 points. Okay, John, final pick of the NBA block on the show here, D'Angelo Russell, everyone's favorite player right now. What do you like for him?
Yeah, I'm just going to answer quickly. So the one he said 4.5 plus 162 FanDuel for Giddy. I just double checked the number for you while Joe was talking there. And the projection that we have for the 3.5 would make a plus 105 on the 4.5. So that's a great price. You should play the plus 160. You have a nice edge there too as well. That's a big number. I think I saw plus 126 earlier. So D'Angelo Russell, I'm going over 4.5 assists, plus 105. D'Angelo Russell, both Lakers guards, I think I've talked about this before on the show, both I've been concerned about playing overs for either Russell or Austin Reeves just because their perimeter defense is not great. And when you're already sending so much help to Jokic, you kind of need someone who can contain Jamal Murray. And that's kind of why they struggle against the Nuggets in general. Without, you know, I was always nervous. I didn't know who would go to bench. Would it be Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell? Well, last game, they won their first time in 12 games against the Nuggets. And D'Angelo Russell played 40 minutes and Austin Reeves played 29. And D'Angelo Russell led the Lakers in plus minus at plus 15. So to me, that tells me like you won the game. So why would you mess with that, right? Like obviously Russell did good things for you. To me, that makes me feel like Austin Reeves is the one who's going to be the victim of any defensive switches. And Russell is just going to see big minutes. So that makes me feel like his minutes are more secure. It also, you know, Jamal Murray's questionable. Reggie Jackson's questionable. If Jamal Murray doesn't play, then the Lakers might not even be looking for more perimeter defense. And just Russell and Reeves also just play more in general because they want their offense. So that's just another reason where I think his minutes are more secure tonight than what I've thought in the past. Russell, you know, he also led the Lakers last game, 11 potential assists. So once again, it's a game they defeated the Nuggets in. He was running pick and rolls. I do like that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is his, like, the defensive player on Russell because he doesn't give Russell an inch to shoot. And if Russell's given an inch to shoot, he will shoot. He won't pass. So I kind of actually do like, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the best perimeter defender on the Nuggets, is on Russell because I think it forces him to pass. So when he runs the pick and roll, he actually is looking for Anthony Davis, or he's looking on the pocket pass, or he's looking for LeBron James. You know, there's a couple times last game he brings up the ball, he sees Jamal Murray guarding him, and you're like, ah, he's going to shoot it. And he just pulls it and shoots it. So I actually do like that the best defender is on him. I think it helps force passes. And 4.5 plus 105, that's a pretty low number for D'Angelo Russell just in general, especially in a game where you could see elevated minutes. I think like regular season, we're like 5.5, 6.5. So, and plus money too. So that's why I'm playing the over 4.5.
Okay, that does it for NBA picks here today. A couple Major League Baseball picks. Let's get right into them. I've been pounding these pitcher props all season. It has been a winning season. So if it's not broke, we're not going to fix it. Let's start things off with Griffin Canning. Going to take under 5.5 strikeouts for him. Minus 140. This number of 5.5, this is way too high. He's had 4 or less in 4 of his 5 starts here this season. The game that he did get to 6 was against the Red Sox, who have a pretty high strikeout percentage versus right-handed pitching. You know who doesn't have a high strikeout percentage versus right-handed pitching? It is his opponent tonight, the Philadelphia Phillies. They have the 4th lowest strikeout percentage versus righties over the last 2 weeks. And this is a tough assignment for Griffin Canning, who's having an awful season. He's got a 7.50 ERA, a 5.35 FIP. taking on a Philly team that is red hot at the plate, first in OPS versus right-handed pitching over the last 2 weeks. So good chance he's not around long enough to go over that strikeout total of 5.5. And we'll wrap things up with Tommy Henry of the Diamondbacks. He's going up against the Dodgers tonight, going to take under 15.5 outs recorded, minus 115. He's only topped this once in 5 starts this season. That game came against the St. Louis Cardinals, who are one of baseball's worst teams versus left-handed pitching. You know who isn't one of baseball's worst teams versus left-handed pitching? It is the Dodgers, who are top 10 in OPS and WRC plus versus lefties. Just some ugly numbers here for Tommy Henry in 2024. A 5.55 ERA, a 1.6 whip, a very low soft contact percentage as well. And this game is going down in Arizona. And the Dodgers, one of the best road offenses in Major League Baseball so far this season. Second in OPS, second in runs scored in innings 1 through 5. So I doubt he goes beyond 5 innings in that one. So those are my 2 picks for today. I might have a few more over on Twitter/X, though. Some of the books late getting some numbers up. So we'll see. I'll dig in this afternoon. So stay tuned for that. So, John, something I want to ask you about. So you weren't on the show on Friday because you had the day booked off because you attended the NFL draft there in Detroit. Now, I kind of made fun of it in a hypocritical fashion because I would have attended in a second. But I talked about almost 300,000 people there in Detroit standing outside in April to basically watch a man go on a stage and say the names of other men. And I think it's a fantastic tradition. I'd imagine people there getting drunk off their ass and having a good old time. So tell us a little bit about your draft experience there in Detroit.
I thought it was awesome. And I was telling, you know, I was saying off air here that my wife, who doesn't even watch football or sports or anything, she said she would travel to go to another NFL draft. That's how much fun she had. I do think, like, if you're going to watch the picks and you're invested in like the actual draft and like what is happening, it's probably better just to stay at home. Not necessarily the best experience, but if you want to go tailgate with 500,000 football fans who just enjoy the NFL and are having a good time, it was amazing. Like the vibes were, I can't even explain. It was so weird to see like jerseys and like colors of every single team, but then also every single, like there was no rivalries or people weren't chirping each other. It was just like, hey, let's all like all 30 teams, let's have a beer together. And it was nice. It was something you couldn't. And I personally thought it was, you know, there was, I think 275,000 inside the actual NFL draft like gates, but they had the whole, like, if you've people probably been in downtown Detroit, but like they had the whole like downtown Detroit blocked off. Like there was no car traffic anywhere. And like I was saying this, it was so well planned in my mind. Like I never waited for food, a drink, a washroom, anything. And like, you can just, we just walk. I think we got 37,000 steps, it said on our thing. We're just walking the whole city. Wow. And you've never seen it that way because there's always just so much traffic, right? Like, I don't think you could even, it'd be hard to process like seeing like Toronto just like completely shut down with no cars, and you could just walk around everything and all these bars and restaurants are involved and everything. And it was busy everywhere, but like not too busy. Like you could get in and I don't know. It was just, it was really, really cool. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. If you're going to just like hang out with friends and be a part of like the atmosphere, it's just like a gigantic tailgate set up, like picnic tables everywhere, everything. So it was cool.
So did you need a ticket to get in, or was it like all a blocked off area where specifically you needed to enter with a ticket, or how did that work?
So the actual NFL, like the NFL draft or the NFL had like a blocked off area. It stretched from like the water all the way up to the stage, which I don't know if it's a 1 or 2 kilometer stretch. It was pretty big. And then inside of, everything's free. You just walked in, and everything inside of there was also, that's what my wife kept saying. She's like, everything's free. Like, why is everything free? Like, how are they even making money? And like, you could go see Super Bowl rings. You could go see all like the Heisman Trophy was there. The Vince Lombardi Trophy was there. There was just like all these comps you could throw to like win prizes. There's all these games and stuff. It was just, honestly, it would be a great event to bring your kids to, too. There's just like a lot to do and stuff.
What about concessions? Were there beer? Was it a complete ripoff, or how did that work?
Yeah. So that's what we were also talking about, me and my friends, because we weren't like, we had an easy time moving around Detroit and knowing where to go, because we also know Detroit. We know the city. We know what street we're on and where things are. If you drop me in the middle of like a random city for a draft, would I know where to go? And like, would it be as much fun? I'm not sure. But like the, not to sell myself out, what we did. So like inside the actual gates where the NFL draft was, it was $16 for a beer, which is obviously a complete ripoff. It was a King Can though. It was still basically two beers.
Yeah.
But it's free and you can come and go as you want inside the NFL draft gates. And there was a 7-Eleven right outside the one gate and we knew there was, and we would just walk out the gate and go get a beer for $2 and then drink it and then walk back in the gate. So,
oh, that's a pro move. I bought my fair share of $16-$17 beers at a ball game or a football game or NBA game. But in my younger, more aggressive years, I would put a pint of rum into my pocket and go in and make some rum and cokes, and that's the paso. But that's the way to do it. Yeah, you got to get bang for your buck with drinking, right? So 7-Eleven in Detroit, right?
We did the same thing with food, right? So like in there, I'm sure if we would have went to the concessions for the actual draft, it would have been $20 for chicken fingers and fries. But we went to a restaurant right outside the gates and got a whole pizza for everyone for $20. So like,
nice,
same thing. It was I don't know how if you weren't from Detroit, I don't know how that experience was for you, because you wouldn't necessarily know where to go. So, but for us, it was cool. I've never seen the city in that way. So it was really good. I think we should get rid of cars in the cities after seeing that. It was pretty awesome.
The Motor City. There we go. Okay. Yeah. I'll have to hit a draft one day. Sounds like a good time. A quick recap of the picks here, guys, before we go. I took Celtics Heat over 203.5, Bam to go over 19.5 points, LeBron to go over 26.5 points. I took Griffin Canning under 5.5 strikeouts and Tommy Henry under 15.5 outs. Mettler, what were your numbers? If you don't mind recapping your picks there very quickly.
Yeah, Josh Giddey over 3.5 assists, -130. D'Angelo Russell over 4.5 assists, +105. And Brandon Ingram over 4.5 assists, -104.
Yeah, we're making producer Brady work.
I jumped out of order too.
Producer Mick off, by the way, off on a well-deserved vacation. I'm sure he's watching somewheres. Probably not. But if you are, enjoy your time off, Mick. Okay. That's it for today, guys. Geez, we got a lot out of today's show. Thank you guys very much for watching. Make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. A lot of great content here. You don't want to miss it. We have a big week coming up here with the playoffs going on in both the NBA and the NHL. We got a UFC this weekend. Of course, all the Major League Baseball stuff as well. You don't want to miss any of it. So make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. Thank you guys for watching. Best of luck with your bets tonight. And we will catch you again on Wednesday.